Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen of Blog Talk Radio. This is your boy, Minister A.D. Hubbard, in his house. Yeah. Anyway, just got back in not too long ago from working out. Had to shave my head, looking all kind of crazy. Yeah, all kind of crazy. Wash up and get on the air real quick. But I'm feeling so fresh and so clean, clean. I'm feeling fresh and so clean, clean. Yes, I said I quoted the words from Outkast. Southern Playalistic. Yeah, and okay, anyway, be serious, Aaron. I am serious. No, you're not. You're just playing. You were doggone right. Anyway, I'm so happy to be with y'all tonight. I'm so happy to be with y'all tonight. That tonight, wow. Anyway, I just want to tell God, thank you for all he's done for me. Thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy, your patience. Thank you, Jesus, for your patience. Lord, have mercy. And God, just tell me, do you want me to do? Wherever you want me to go, send me, and I'll go. Amen. Tonight, we're having a little turn for the second. We're talking about, I'll be in the book of Revelation tonight. We're going to talk about what we all have been knowing is coming. Some say it's here right now. Some say it has been come and gone. Some say a lot of things. But we all know the mark of the beast, amen? The 666. Nothing to play with. The Bible says you take the mark of the beast, you will go to hell. You will die. And those of us who has not taken the mark of the beast, but taken Christ's love into our hearts, we would be gone up to heaven. Amen. We would be redeemed in twinkling of an eye, caught up in the middle of the air. Yes, Lord, I can wait, but I can't wait. Anyway, but yeah, today's title is called, right, first I give you our title, let me just say this too. There's no words that I can express how much of a close call I came to death in my late 20s from being shot at, from being in car accidents. I thank him for his covering, because nobody can cover you like God can cover you. So, God, again, thank you for what you've done for me in my life. I appreciate you. I love you. I adore you. I serve you for the rest of my life. Amen. Wow, yes. Thank you, Lord. But today we're going to talk about, are you marked for death? And the reason this title came into my bosom was I was watching this movie tonight called The Fifth Wave. It's pretty good. It reminded me of the day after tomorrow. It reminded me of Independence Day and The Walking Dead. And God spoke to my spirit earlier today and said, go on the air and talk about Revelations chapter 13, verse 16. So if you have not seen this movie called The Fifth Wave, it's about when Earth is being attacked by aliens. And there is a sequence of waves of destruction to annihilate the population. The aliens literally drain the energy and create diseases and natural disasters. This teenager named Cassie Sullivan moves their family to the countryside, but when her mother, Lisa, dies, her father, Oliver, my late grandpa's name, decides to go to a refugee camp with Cassie and her younger brother, Sam. Out of the blue sky, the army comes to the camp to transfer the survivors up to the military base. They transfer the children first, but Cassie misses the bus when Sam, her brother, leaves. She learns at the fifth wave that aliens have assumed the human form, and she witnesses the military executing the civilians in a camp, including her father. She flees, and now she begins to request to find her brother, Sam. Meanwhile, the teenagers and children are being trained by the military to fight the enemy. But the question raises, how do you know the difference between human and who is alien? Amen. If you have the Bibles with me, Go with me to Revelation chapter 13, verse 16. And it says, He also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or on his forehead, so that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. Amen. Are you marked for death? That's a question that you and I need to know. Are we marked for death? And in this movie, there was, at the refugee camp that the army had provided for them, there was this nurse slash lieutenant, whoever she was, literally placing implants. We have that now going on. Implants in the back of these kids' necks to track them. My question was, why do they need to be tracked? And the answer came to this. They were being tracked because the army was literally preparing them for war. They were getting ready to execute a population of aliens, so they say. But in reality, they were actually human beings, and they called these aliens the others. But it dawned on me that the others was not the other population they were trying to kill, but it was the actual military involvement. So when they found out that they were killing the wrong people, they discovered a plan to keep the innocent alive and go after the wicked. That's what we have to do in the body of Christ. We have to keep the innocent alive. Or in other words, if you are saved and washed in his blood, then you are kept by Jesus Christ. And there will come a time where there will be a choice. If the ones who are left behind after the rapture, after being having others caught up in the middle of the air to go with Christ and reign with him, those who are left behind will have a choice to either receive the mark of death or kill. Now, the Bible clearly states, if you receive the mark of death, you can buy and sell as you please. But if you don't have it, if you get caught and go against the Antichrist, the only punishment that they give out is beheading. I know it sounds harsh. I know it sounds mean. But if you do not receive that mark on the beast, once you are killed, you will reign with Jesus Christ. And I come to find out a long, 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 long time ago that even if I did not receive his salvation, why would I risk my life dying at an early age and going to hell? And that's where I say, are you and I marked for death? Because once we were born in this world, shaped in iniquity and in sin that mother conceived us, we were already guilty. And the Bible says that he who is without salvation will face eternal judgment. I don't want to be in that boat. I don't want to go before God and tell him, well, I would have done it, but this came up. I would have watched extra son of Christ in my life, but something more important came up. I go to church. Isn't that good enough? I give to the poor. I tithe. I voluntarily work in the community. Isn't that good enough? And God's going to look at you, both you and I, and says, no. Because what I put in my word to you to receive my salvation, we cannot earn salvation because Christ said it is a gift. The Bible says in Romans 10:9-10 that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, you shall receive salvation. And I received my gift when I was 32. And I have not regretted to this day. I thank God for not a second chance, but another chance. So if there are any of you out there who know somebody or you yourself have said these deadly words, I'll do it tomorrow, tomorrow may not ever come. So yeah, you are marked for death. We don't get into heaven by being good. We don't get into heaven by doing good things because we have to have faith, and faith without works is dead. You have to not only ask for salvation, but you have to also believe that you will receive salvation. Amen? So why do we want to risk the fact that even though I'm not ready yet, why do you want to risk the fact that you might end up dying at any time? Because death plays favoritism to no one. Somebody told me just last month, yeah, I'm going to grow old and gray. You don't know that. Death can come at any time, anywhere, anyhow. No one is promised tomorrow. So for you and I to play these godly games against Christ, he ain't playing with us. Yes, he did say, choose ye this day of whom you will serve. But why would you want to risk your life? I don't know how hot it is in your area. But back where I'm from in Arkansas, oh, it gets hot. It can be 99 degrees on the 10th scale. But the index can be 105. I would deal with that kind of heat than versus me going to hell forever and ever. So I got right with God, Christ, and the Holy Ghost and got myself together and asked him, pleaded with him, begged him to save my soul from burning in hell. He will do it. He won't wait till next week or tomorrow or the next or the 2 years from now. He'll do it right then and there once you ask him. Because that's the kind of God we serve. We don't serve a slothful God or a slothful God. We don't serve a God who takes the time and thinks about if we are worthy to be saved. No, we are not worthy to be saved. We're just as sinful as the next person. So stop trying to compare your sin with your neighbor. Sin is sin. There are no degrees in sin. You cannot say, well, I lied yesterday, but my friend stole from me today. That's not how God works. God says sin is sin, and he will not allow any sin in heaven. There was a beer commercial years ago during Super Bowl time that actually had these little devils. I forgot who it was. If I did, I would call them out because they were wrong for this. They had these little devils with beer cases on their backs that was carrying some kind of, I don't know, going into heaven. And God had his arms folded and counting the cases coming in heaven. Now, we know that's blasphemy. How in the world are you going to play like that with God? First of all, he does not allow. That's why when Christ died for us on a cross, and when Jesus said to himself, why hast thou forsaken me? He wasn't actually forsaking his son, Christ. No, no, no. He was actually forsaking the sins that Christ bare on his shoulders. Because God would not allow sin into heaven. So even after our salvation, God continues to watch over us. He does not say, okay, since you're saved, I'm done with you. No, God watches over. Okay, let me make it personal. He watches over me every day. Because he knows he made me, he created me. He told me this morning, I'm going to do it at 4:45 in the afternoon. You're going to say something I ain't going to like, but I still love you. And I did say something crazy at that time. I don't know what I said, but it wasn't right. But I thank God for his gracious mercy. I thank him for just loving me because he is God. There is no way in the world that I could ever come to his perfection. Yeah, we should be like Christ every day or be Christ-like. But we're not perfect. There was only one man who was perfect through his glory or in his glory, and that was Christ Jesus himself. So I don't know about you, but I'm so glad. I am so glad to be called up one of his sons and to be able to say, I am saved. I am washed in the blood of Christ. Can you say that tonight? So whatever you are doing, stop listening to me and get on your knees and tell God you want to be saved. Ask him to come into your heart. And I guarantee you, he will do it. I'm an LW, living witness, that he will do it. I have been saved in the blood of the Lamb. I have been redeemed. Do I make mistakes? Yeah, every day. Do I repent? Uh-huh. I got to. Because there would be no way in the world that I could live my life the way I live now and go through life just nonchalant and not give God the repentance that I need to give him. Because all have come, all have sinned. All have sinned. Not y'all, not just me, not just you, but all have sinned and fell short of God's glory. We're going to take a break just for a second. We'll come right back.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen, Pastor Ezekiah Stewart, and he is talking about how wonderful is his name. Not Walker, but God's name, amen. He said, you woke me up this morning, thank you, Lord, and you started me on my way. You put food on my table, God, and you even brought joy to my day. Then he just cold-hearted killed it by saying, I'm glad your love has never changed. Oh, my God, let me just talk about that for a second. Your wife's love can change. Your husband's love can change. Your friends and family members can change their love. But God said he would never change his love against us. He would never leave us nor forsake us. Then Hezekiah took it all the way home. He said, for the rest of my life. Y'all ain't hear me. He said, for the rest of my life, I'll serve him. Who? I'll serve God. For the rest. Oh, my God, I am thankful for God for telling me that, oh, I am thankful to him for what he has done. And I said, God, you know what? You are the only one who I answer to. And for the rest of my life, I'll serve you. Boy, I like that. I like that. Not like likes. I like that. I'm country. Yes, I am. I like that. And thank you, Hezekiah, for that wonderful song. My brain just locked up. I forgot I was going to say next. But I just thank God. When you think about God's goodness, you can't say nothing. You can't say nothing. You just wave your hand. Look at here. God has been so awesome towards my life, being patient with me. Stood by me through thick and thin, because there's some friends I personally know, like in my old hometown, that I can count on one hand that, okay, God has stuck through me through my stuff, my mess, and turned me around. Well, actually, no, he didn't. He didn't turn me around, because a lot of people say, I said it one time too, that he turned me around. The song that says, God turned me around. Well, if I'm in my mess, and God turned me around, I'm still facing the same mess. So give this a remix. God turned me halfway and gave me a 180. Because he turned me all the way around. God, I'm facing the same stuff I'm facing before I knew you. But he turned me halfway. Think about that. You going one way, but I'm taking you another way. Thank you, Lord, for that 180. Oh, y'all want to verse that? When he was, he was with the wedding party, and him and his disciples dropped in, and Jesus' mother said, I want you to fill these six water pots with water. Jesus had the nerve to talk back to his own mother. Woman, it's not my time yet. She looked at the disciples and told them, whatever he tells you, do it. Now, by my calculation, he had six water pots at 30 gallons a pot. That's 180 right there. Oh, my God, that would preach right there, won't it? Six water pots. At 30 gallons, 180. Ooh-wee. Thank you, Lord, for that halfway turn. But are you – I can shut down right here. I'm done preaching. We can go home. We can just call it night and take it to I thank God for his anointing in my life. Because, yes, I was once upon a time marked for death. And if the devil had his way, I'll be in hell right now. Can you ask yourself, how can I live my life my way and not give God his presence, his whatever you're going to give him. How can you keep it to yourself, his praise? Thank you, Lord. I praise him every chance I get just for sticking by my side. Because when I was in the world doing my own thing, I don't care about nobody. I don't care about myself. But God turned me halfway and said, I got something better for you to do. I thank God for his presence, his anointing, his love, his peace, his joy, especially his peace. He gives me a peace that surpasses all understanding. I remember a doctor of mine back at home told me one day, he said, if you don't stop getting so mad at people, you're going to kill yourself. Literally, you're going to kill yourself. Because I was tested for depression. Well, what they also found was a throbbing blood vessel in my brain. And I told him, why do I have these certain headaches on the side of my head that's throbbing? And he tested me and said, you know what what I found? You're about 2 seconds away from finding yourself in a coma, or even worse, killing yourself. Because I used to get so mad at the drop of a hat when I was younger and tell everybody what I thought about them and tell them where they can go. So I'm thankful to God he allowed me to find laughter through anger. And I asked myself, is this worth getting upset over? That's why I don't care anymore about how folks try to play me. I laugh at them. I have caught the Vasilisa syndrome. If y'all seen Trey Dowd Compton, when Cube, played by his son, O.C. Jackson Jr., he mushed the girl's head out the hotel room and told her Vasilisa. I have been verbally mushing folks out my life because they want to act a fool towards me. I'm just keeping it real. I'm keeping it 100% legit. Because I don't have time for nonsense. I don't have time for playful people. I could joke around with you all day long. But if I'm serious and you playing with me, bye, Felicia. And I have to laugh at things or at people. So God has given me the spirit of laughter to keep me from going off on folks. Because he made me and he knew I had a real fiery temper. I was like a short spark, like a fuse. The minute you lit that fuse, I'll blow up. And people cannot be around me because of that. It's always crazy. Maybe I was. But I knew for a fact that if I can act a fool towards you and get so hot-headed, you may not see the next day. I'm being dead serious. So God had to turn me halfway and said, you know what? I got to do something with this fool, and I'm going to do it quick before he kills himself. So I thank God for his grace and his giving me the ability to laugh at certain people or certain things. There were times in my life where I'm dealing with people at my job I had to laugh at. We'll go out into the community and do things I have to do, and things don't go the way they should be going or was planned. I have to laugh at them. And then I pray for them. Then I pray for myself. So whenever I think of his goodness, my whole body cries, hallelujah. The best weapon I have outside of prayer is walking away. Because there are some people in my life now, males, I want to knock the hell out so bad. I mean, that's just literally, because they are so hellish. You want to bring them my way? God said, no, you just pray for them. I'll deal with them. Because I'm not going to kill myself over your stupidity. So I laugh and pray. Sometimes I find myself in tears because I cannot do what I want to do to certain folks. God told me to pray. And the only time I'm in tears because I'm hurting so bad that I can't do nothing to folks. Because the Bible says that revenge is his and he shall repay, says the Lord. So I have to let it go and ask God to cover me in his mercy. Dry my tears, Father God. Because there are some things I do not understand why you let happen. Why am I going through this perseverance? And he said that you're going through it to learn something. When the Hebrew boys were caught, were thrown in the fire furnace, they were in a learning process. Because they told King David himself, we will not bow down to your idol. And if the God that we serve does not rescue us, it's all well and good. King looked up and said, wait a minute. I threw three boys in the fire. The fourth man looks like the Son of God. And check this out. The people who threw the boys in the fire got burned up. So whoever is pushing you to your fire furnace here seven times over, and they will get burned. Whoever is throwing you into the lion's den, let them. Because it can be a point in time where they will get eaten by the lions. Let them do it. God got you. My God has never lost a fight. He has overcame the enemy on many occasions, especially on a hill called Calvary. They need to ask themselves, your enemies, did we mark them for death? Yeah, you did. But the God I serve has given me power to overcome you and to pray for you. And sometimes, no, all the time, we have to laugh. God, we thank you right now for this word that you have given us. Thank you. We honor you. We praise you. Give you glory, God. We love you. Without you, we are nothing. Without you, we cannot even fathom the fact that we would still be on earth. We thank you for your son, Christ, who died for our sins, God, and he'll call Calvary. We thank you for the cross that he endeavored, the side that he had cut open by spear and poured out blood and water. And the centurion soldier said, truly, this is the Son of God. God, we even thank you for the nails in his feet and hands. We thank you for the thief on both sides, God, because one thief said, who are you? Won't you save yourself and then us? But I thank you, God, for the thief who said, Jesus Christ, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. We thank you for the words that he responded back and said, in this hour, you shall be with me in paradise. God, we love you for everything that you let your son go through. As a matter of fact, God, we love you for things that we've gone through. And most importantly, God, we love you for who you are. Keep us in your love and care, God. Watch over us night and day. Send your angels, God. And I pray right now that you protect those who need protection, God. God, the people that's in my heart, the people that's in my mind right now, bless them far more than I can even think of. Give them peace, God. Give them mercy right now, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Speak about laughter. I'm going to leave y'all with this. Y'all going to think I lost my mind for real. But, hey, I probably did. But here we go.
Oh, my neck. My back. My neck and my back. Oh, I want $150,000.
But we can set out of court right now for $20.
Man, get your punk ass up. It ain't
even. Oops. I forgot about that part. But you got to admit, that was funny. That was funny. Oops. Y'all get over it. Okay. Thank y'all for listening. Thank y'all for sharing with me tonight, either live in our archives. I bless you. Bless God for you. Until we see each other next time. Peace. I'm out.
Hey, what's up, man?
My bad. Good night, y'all.